Reading from Jude, the full chapter. As you know, we read it the last, but I'll go through it again so you all catch up. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord, God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to those having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defy the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in rebellion of Korah. These are spots in our love feasts, while the feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees, without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom has reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying on the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present your faultlessness before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Right, you could open your Bibles at Jude. dare say you won't remember the first part of it. So really what you need to do is go on the internet, listen to the first part, then listen to the second. I'll just give you a quick... Now Jude, in part one we looked at how ungodly men had come into the church, and how Jude had intended to write to them about their salvation, but after news had reached him about this big problem, he changed his letter to encourage them to be on their guard and stick to the truth which the early saints had taught them. We then went through what Jude said about ungodly men. So today I'm finishing, and there's just a couple of points continuing from that. But then we will look at the judgment that is promised to them. Now, ungodly men. The Holy Spirit is the only source of truth, as well as the only way the truth can be revealed. Those who are acknowledging Jesus as Lord are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Maybe control's not the right word, but you know what I mean. But those who walk after the world's ways, do not have the Spirit. So therefore, they cannot teach the truth. People can read the Bible. They can learn what they think it means. They can even get up and preach. But without the Holy Spirit, they can't be inspired to reveal the truth that God wants to be revealed. They can't speak in season, and they don't understand the real truth of God's word. But most of us have seen vivid illustrations of this biblical truth in the lives of other believers, and sometimes even in our own lives. There's a story of a young pastor who was extremely discouraged. He was a brilliant young man who had an impeccable theological education. In addition, he was a deeply committed to ministry and an obvious aptitude for ministry. And one day, an older, more experienced pastor came alongside. They were working on something together. We soon discovered that he had a basic problem. He was so deeply involved in ministry in his own strength, in ministering to people, that he was neglecting his own walk with God. So without realizing it, he was ministering in his own strength rather than the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. But what an incredible change took place when he recognized his need. He recommitted his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, received anew and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and again experienced his empowering. So instead of leaving the ministry, he began to thrive, and his church grew in power as God poured his blessing upon the life and ministry of the young pastor. Effective spiritual ministry always takes place through a human vehicle who is living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and who is ministering by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Those who do not have the Spirit are false teachers and should be called to accountability. I saw this a little bit when I went to the theological college for part time. And they had a service in the midweek, and they called everybody in, and the guy was preaching on keeping your eye on the horizon. And afterwards he called for people to come forward, those that felt the need for prayer, those that had felt they lost the focus on God because they were so concerned with the studies. The studies were taking over. And I'm not kidding, half of the congregation went forward. So I know what he's saying there, that you know, you can get focused on the ministry that you're doing and forget about your walk with God. It can take over. You're then under your own strength. Right, so we move now to the judgments in Jude, which will surely come. The judgments which will surely come to these false teachers, these are in verses 5 to 11 and 13 to 15. So after exposing the characteristics of these false teachers, Jude speaks very specifically about the judgments which will come upon those who walk according to their own ungodly lusts and who would seek to lead others astray. Verse 5, it says this, the Lord destroys those who do not believe. Jude reminds his readers on how the Lord has dealt with unbelievers in the past. He uses the Exodus from Egypt to remind them that because of their unbelief and turning their back on God, which is in Numbers 14, the Lord destroyed those who did not believe. And in the same way, Jude hints, God will ultimately destroy those of that time who do not believe. And of course, that applies right through to the present time and beyond. There's only two ways, godly or ungodly. There's no in between, and there's no other way. As we say, it's black and white. Which one are you choosing? And he goes on, he has reserved for disobedient angels in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 6. Jude again parallels with the teaching of Peter concerning the judgment of disobedient angels. And in 2 Peter 2:4 it says this, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. The judgment of the great day seems to refer to that judgment described by John in Revelation. And the devil who deceived them will cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's Revelation 20:10. So those who rebelled and joined Satan will be judged. That should be the fate of everyone on earth. But thankfully God gave us a way of avoiding this by believing in Christ Jesus. There's a lot more at stake than just believing in Jesus. By not believing, you set yourself on a path to destruction. And in verse 7, they shall suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude now uses another historical example of Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities which had given themselves to sexual immorality. Their destruction by fire is an example, a warning to those who would seek after sexual immorality in the present day. Genesis 19. Your choices come with consequences. Being free to do what you want to do, being free to live as you choose, is fine. But remember, you choose that path. And one day you will have to answer for those choices. You can't blame anyone else. It's totally down to you. In verse 11, it says, woe to them. Jude is declaring woe upon those who speak evil about things they don't understand, who think only in the natural realm, and who literally corrupt themselves. From verse 10, he uses three Old Testament examples to reveal three specific sins of the false teachers. First, there is Cain, who failed to please God because he murdered his brother. Genesis 4, 1 to 15. Next, there is Balaam, who not only sinned by his deceit and covetousness, but who also attempted to lead the children of Israel astray. And that's Numbers 22 to 24. And finally, there was Korah, who rebelled against the authority and leadership of Moses. An authority given to Moses by God. Numbers 16:136. God's judgment came upon Cain, Balaam and Korah when they disobeyed. And his judgment will surely come upon all who disobey in the present day. For whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever? From verse 13. The problem is, you might seem to get away with things now, but you will, at some time in the future, have to answer. And when you look at the people of the world, they seem to have everything, and you seem to have nothing. Don't worry. You look at the bigger picture. You will get your reward in heaven and rejoice. And they will pay for the choices they made and regret. So as Jude refers to those false teachers as stars who have gone astray and have moved out of their intended orbit, he states that the blackness of darkness had been reserved for them forever. And throughout Scripture, we find sin and disobedience being portrayed as darkness, and righteousness and obedience as light. For example, John refers to Jesus as the true light, who came to give light to every person. But the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:13. Jesus called himself the light of the world in John 9:5, and he declared that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's John 3:19-21. This is why people don't want to see the light of the world, because it shows up how filthy they actually are. It shows the same to the godly. But we accept it. We acknowledge it. And then we do something about it. We don't bury our heads in the sand and hope it will go away. We face up to it and take ownership of our lives and choose to follow Jesus. Choose to be godly. Turn away from the ungodly things of this life. Then the Lord comes to execute judgment on all who are ungodly. In verses 14 and 15. In declaring this judgment, Jude quotes from the apocryphal book of Enoch. The full prophecy of Enoch is, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That's Enoch 1:9. But within Jewish society of Jude's day, the book of Enoch was popular. So Jude is not referring to it as scripture. We must remember that. In the first half, he quoted from the apocryphal book, but it's not scripture. But rather as a common source with which his Jewish readers will be very familiar. The message of Jude concerning the impending judgment of God upon the false teachers is loud and clear. The judgment of God will certainly fall upon them. The title of the next section is Maintain Your Life with God. I'm sure, well, if you've been watching the telly at all, you will have seen that advert where there's one brother spent ages building a tower of Lego. And then his brother walks in with a tennis racket and just swings the tennis racket and boom, all comes down. Well, there's a lesson to be learned from that, which will be helpful in the future. It's simply this: one can destroy in just a few seconds that which has taken hours or years to construct. But however, to be a builder is much more fulfilling than being a destroyer. And that is the message of Scripture. Our Lord has called us to be builders, not destroyers. Building things that can last will give you joy for a long time. Destroying something is fulfilling, but it will soon disappear and leave you empty. Sin brings destruction, but spiritual life brings growth and building. After condemning the false teachers who would destroy and tear down, Jude instructs us to build ourselves up spiritually. That's in verse 20. So we are called to be builders. And he goes on to say the six specific ways in which we can accomplish this. By building ourselves up on our most holy faith, in verse 20. Faith is a vital and essential to the life of spiritual growth. Hebrew declares that without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And both Paul and the writer of Hebrews quote from Habakkuk 2:4 in declaring that Jesus shall live. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, it's all there. But this is a holy faith, which denotes that it's different, it's separate, it's distinct. This is a faith that comes from God and toward God. Paul writes, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:17. This faith is lived out through active obedience. By praying in the Holy Spirit, in verse 20, Jude encourages us as builders to be those who would be praying in the Holy Spirit, to be sure. The battle against false teachers is not to be won by mere argument or intelligence. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. God has given us spiritual weapons to be used not only in refuting error, but in growing and in building. One of God's greatest gifts to his children is a gift of prayer. Prayer is essential to spiritual vitality. Prayer is not something we do in the flesh. We are to pray guided by the Holy Spirit. Prayer is spiritual, and the Holy Spirit desires to empower us to pray. We want to make intercession. He wants to make intercession for us according to the will of God. That's Romans 8:26 and 27. By keeping ourselves in the love of God, in verse 21, if we are to be builders, we must also be lovers. And that love must flow from God himself. Paul teaches us clearly about the relationship of love and building in his letter to the Ephesians. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Paul also declares, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It builds us up. That's from 1 Corinthians 8:1. Jesus said, abide in my love, John 15:9. And then proceeded to say, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And that's in John 15:10. That is the truth which Jude is teaching. Stay within the bounds of God's love. Don't stray away like a star out of orbit. Enjoy the love of God and share it freely with others. Now, I did ask God a question about love. And he revealed what he thought about love. That love comes from one source, which of course is God. It can be seen best in the love for a child from its parents. Undemanding and not wanting anything in return. And I'm sure you've all seen this. No matter how the baby looks, the parents can only see beauty in their child. When parents have a disabled child and love it with all their hearts, prepared to make the sacrifice needed to love that child. That is the love God is on about. That is how God loves us, his children. Love comes in many forms. Family, friends, a love between a husband and a wife. And also one of the reasons God teaches of no sex before marriage is because he wants love to form in a certain way. You meet, you fall in love without the influence of other things to distract you. Then out of that, a relationship develops from that. Because the problem is, in the world today, he does it the other way around. Then they wonder why it all falls apart. I know it doesn't always. But on the whole these days, it does. In verse 22, by having compassion, the mercy of God should not only be enjoyed by us, but we should joyfully share it with others. That word compassion, translated, is very similar to mercy. It's closely related to it, in fact. And the same word is used by Peter in his wonderful declaration. You who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. From 1 Peter 2:10. Those who walk with God through faith in Jesus Christ do receive his mercy. We should share that mercy with those who have gone astray. Jude states that we should do so, making a distinction. In other words, we should attempt to reach out with mercy and compassion to those who have gone astray. We should attempt to rescue them from the error of false teachers. Our deepest concern should not be to condemn them, but to restore them to the fellowship of Christ and his church. In verse 23, it says, by saving others with fear. The act of mercy should reach so far as attempt to actually snatch them from the fire of judgment. The ministry of rescuing those who have strayed from the faith is a vital one. In the closing words of his letter, James speaks about this important ministry. This act of mercy, of reaching out to snatch others from the fire, should be done with fear. Paul teaches the same truth in his letter to the Galatians. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself least, you also be tempted. Galatians 6:1. And as we have seen, it should be done with love and compassion for the sinner, but with great hatred for the sin. As it says in verse 23, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We are like to be like Jesus. He had a reputation for being a friend of sinners, but he also hated sin. He came to be our Saviour and to rescue us from sin. And the last two verses, 24 and 25. You've most probably heard it loads of times, actually. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. So the closing two verses of Jude's short letter are perhaps the best known and most quoted of the entire epistle. It is the final word of Christian living and are escaping the error of false teaching. The focus is squarely upon God. He is the one who is able to keep you from stumbling. And he is the one who will present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 24. Our trust should be in him. We should receive him as Saviour and follow him as Lord day by day. Indeed, we should deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him, as Luke says in 9:23. He is to be trusted with our very lives. We should follow him by faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, by keeping ourselves in the love of God, by receiving his mercy, and by having compassion on those who have gone astray, attempting to snatch them from the fire. And Jude closes with the highest tribute to God as a reminder to us of who God is and who we are. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.